PFT Media.
Day go, my fellow day goes. So we got to come home and we want to finish. We want to clean this up. So we're going to hit up a little bit of Columbus Day. Italian Americans finding someone else to celebrate here on Half Through History.
And here we are.
And welcome to Half True History, where we take the legends of today and yesterday, put them together for a pretty interesting story. I am your professor for the evening, Dan P. And controlling the airwaves is our super producer, Chris Crespo.
Yo.
And as always, the Santa Maria to my Nina.
Yes.
Lima.
Hey, everybody.
October.
What a topic to pick, huh?
October.
One more month to go, Dan.
Yeah. Here's hoping.
You see that light?
I see it.
It's a freight train.
Right.
It's a freight train or some Michigan kidnappers. Either way.
Well, you know, I'm good. The governor of Florida high-fived me yesterday, so.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, he high-fived me, and then we touched faces. It was very nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
That governor death sentence is so good. such a good role model.
I've never seen someone put his entire political career on one election like this, dude.
I've never seen people just put all the chips in on a proven loser.
Yes.
Like a con artist. And they back him like he's the greatest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But all the documents are there showing you what a scumbag this person is. What a liar he is.
Yeah.
But they still back, like there's no morality, but they love to preach morality.
It's the emperor's new clothes.
Oh, no.
Nobody wants to say anything.
They're scared. Did you see what happened in Florida? The coach of Florida wanted to pack out the University of Florida stadium because they lost in Texas. And then they come back and they got a bunch of students with COVID. So they postponed the game. And now one of the coaches in Alabama got COVID. Oh, this is great. COVID season is back.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing. Like, I think it really says a lot to us as Americans because we don't like to take breaks. Like Europe is already getting its second wave. They're just starting now, but they had that nice period where they could go out. F that. We don't take breaks in America. We work 24/7.
Yep. We are still on the first one and we're going to hike up those. We're all about numbers.
Right. No, this is our COVID is Peter Jackson's special edition extended with
you know
George
what
Lucas special features.
You know what the problem is, Dan?
Yeah.
Not enough people have died.
This is true.
And not enough important, like, and lack of a better word, important people.
Right. Only the black politician has died.
The black politician, Ben Carson, the mayor of Tennessee.
Right.
And that's
just a regular horror movie.
Chris,
that's not
Christie
getting you any.
Chris Christie's still alive. Everybody from the Trump thing, which I don't think they got COVID. I think that was just a play just because they didn't want to do the debates after the whole fiasco that the first one was.
Right. Well, I don't know. I was not the fly on Mike Pence's head to hear the conversation. So,
all right, let's talk something that's going to bring the world together. Let's talk about Columbus.
Let's talk about everyone's favorite controversial holiday.
Yeah.
every year.
You know, it's weird. Let me tell you this. I didn't know the dude was Italian.
Right. You know, because he claims for Spain, right?
And the way they teach it to us in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. his name is Cristobal Colón.
Ah, Colón. Okay, so not Colombo.
So even in the national anthem, the Puerto Rican national anthem, mm-hmm. it says, so when at its beaches, Colón arrived.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, so.
Now it's Christopher Columbus. Who's that? Isn't that right. The guy that directed Breakfast Club?
So the dude's real name is Cristoforo Colombo.
Okay.
Cristoforo Colombo from Genoa.
I love their salami.
Yes.
Very good salami. Good point, Chris. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, The
best salami out there. Genoa salami.
Yeah, Genoa. I mean, it's your best sandwich salami, really.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. A little bit about the guy. Yeah, a lot of people think he's Spanish because he claimed the area for Spain. And... you know, the case was Spain was the only country that was willing to take a risk on his idea of traveling across the Atlantic to try to get to India. So he's a Genoese merchant. He sailed on a few voyages, studied the Marco Polo maps, and then, you know, comes up with this idea. He's like, I think if we sail across the Atlantic, then we'll get to India a lot faster than going around Africa. Which was the only way people knew, the Europeans knew at this time, was going around Africa. And that sea lane was controlled by the Portuguese. Problem is, he doesn't have any money. He's just got an idea. He's got to shop around. So he basically goes to
the Spanish Shark Tank.
Right. Exactly. Goes to European Shark, like he's, because he goes to the Genoese first. He goes to his hometown and they say, no, I'm not buying in.
No, we're specializing on this meat. We don't have time. For your travels there, Colombo.
And so then he goes to the Portuguese. And they say no. They already got a way to India. Why invest in another one?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were the original blockbuster.
It's funny because it's such a little country. And
yeah,
they had that route.
They had the route. They had everything. They were the kings in like 1480.
Jeez.
Yeah, they had it all, and then they said, again, it's like when Blockbuster turned down Netflix. They basically said, nah.
No, we're not going to go digital. That's stupid.
Right. People come to us, and they were saying the same thing. We've already got the way around Africa. Why do we spend so much time going across the Atlantic? Who knows what's over there? So finally, he gets to Spain. Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand, they give him three ships. Nina Pinta Santa Maria, I think, as everyone knows, in 1492.
Nowadays, you can't assume that everybody knows.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Well, for those of you who don't, Nina Pinta and Santa Maria.
Yeah. Please take notes.
Right.
It might come up in conversations in person.
Mm-hmm. And Spain really needs this. Spain has just unified. 1492 is not just the year that Columbus sails out. It's also the year that Spain has finally captured the Muslim kingdom of Granada. And so now there are no more Muslims in Spain. All of it's Spanish territory.
What happened to the Muslims?
The Spanish have been kicking them out slowly since since.
Damn.
Yeah. Little by little. So by 1492, the only thing left was Granada. And they finally defeated Granada, and with that extra cash, yeah, they gave him three expendable ships to see what, let's see what happens. So he sails out there, and as we all know, he just falls ass backwards into America. Has no idea where he is. He never even knows he's in America. The entire time he thinks it's India until he dies. Three voyages, governor, and he, like I said, he's pretty horrible at his job in general. First off, he lands in the Bahamas. San Salvador is the first spot he lands on. He sees brown people. He's like, these must be Indians. We must be in India. They're brown. So that's why they're called the West Indies even still today.
Yeah, it's amazing. They stuck with the name.
It the name doesn't make it even any sense.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we're from the West Indies. Wait, what?
Yeah. Like, he sailed west, but you would be the East Indies.
Yeah. It's like an idiot just naming you by accident. You're like, yes, we are this.
Yeah.
And we'll forever be this.
So yeah, dumbest name ever. And he makes two more trips back and forth. As you know, he takes a lot of future conquistadors are going to join Columbus in his second and third voyage. Hernan Cortez will be there. Ponce de Leon will be there. He basically starts training up the goon squad for what's going to be the conquest of the New World.
The Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So they played the Spanish event.
Yeah. So his job now is like, okay, you're governor of the Indies, make me a prophet. And he can't do it. He basically just spends the entire time getting drunk and raping native women. Like, years doing this.
Just spreading that seed.
Yeah, just doing whatever he wants. He's king of the island. King of the island. Doesn't need to answer to anyone.
Now, doesn't he go from there to Cuba?
Yep.
Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico?
Yeah, him and Leon and Cortez and Diovando start discovering everything. And, you know, we're not going to get too much into Columbus himself. We know the controversy about it. And, you know, there is that one, like, thing, though, I want to clarify. Because a lot of people, you know, when they demonize him, you almost make it sound like he invented slavery. I mean, this is a guy who didn't even know that he wasn't in India, and we can't really credit him from being this evil of a mastermind. He really was just doing what everyone else was doing at the time.
Yeah.
So it's not that Columbus wasn't a scumbag. It's just that everyone was a scumbag in the 1500s. The Europeans were scumbags. The Africans were scumbags. The Chinese were scumbags. Everyone was selling each other. Everyone was dicking each other.
Scumbaggery was at an all-time high in the 1500s. Right.
And it sounds like he invented slavery. Slavery was a thing that everyone knew about in the Western. It was the Songhai Empire in Africa was selling slaves by the boatloads, so to speak. But yeah, so he does it. He does what all the other douchebags do at the time. And for that, it's really hard to compliment him for anything. You got to acknowledge because he was in the boat when it hit.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, not like he planned it. It was his idea to go across the Atlantic, but he didn't know there was a continent in his way.
So let me ask you something here.
Yeah.
There's a part that he was glorified. When was it that people are like, wait a minute, this guy was a dick.
Right.
I would say the 90s, right? Around the 90s?
It starts in the 70s once the Native 70s. American rights wave begins. Okay. There's a start of it in the 70s. And he's almost forgotten about, really, up until the 1800s in America.
Okay.
Like, they acknowledge he was, they acknowledge he was the guy driving the boat, but nobody's thinking of him as any great person of an influence or impact. It boils down to immigration in America, and that's where mm-hmm. Columbus comes in. So it's, you know, Columbus to Italians is, to me at least, is kind of like that uncle you don't want to talk about. he really is. Like, he was Italian. I will admit that, but I'm not proud of what he did. I was not proud of any of the explorers during that time period. I don't think any of them should have statues. That said, he was the anchor for the Italian immigrants when they first came over in the 1880s. Italians weren't liked in the United States. Catholic, they spoke a funny Latin language. They were darker than most of the other white people. Mm. Most of them are uneducated. They were just getting on the boat.
Yep.
So people saw Italians in the 1880s, 1890s, very much how we still treat Hispanics today.
Like the weird, they're not exactly like black people, but they're definitely not white people. They're like a weird middle ground.
Exactly. And that was even the case in Europe, too. They were this kind of second-class white citizen in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were always seen as these oversexed, hot-tempered drunks.
Yes. As a Puerto Rican, I'm familiar with that stereotype.
Right? So and it really was. If it was not for Columbus, there is a good chance that most Italians today would still kind of be in that boat, per se.
Mm-hmm.
They needed something to prove to the American public that Italians had done good for the country.
The Italians were just as American as other Anglos.
Right. They contributed to this great Anglo state. They contributed to the greatness of America in some way. And at the time, the only person they could think of was Columbus. There weren't that many great Italians that contributed to America at that point. There were one or two, definitely, but Columbus was the big one that everybody knew, and that's the one that they really jumped and pushed on, especially as we were getting closer to 1892, the 400-year anniversary. It catches on. Columbus fever gets big. It becomes the theme of the Chicago's World's Fair 4 years later.
Columbus fever.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought I would hear that.
Starting to, push. The Italian-Americans are really pushing it hard. They set up the Knights of Columbus, a charity group, right? Social group and everything like that. Get a lot of influence, lobbying. And then finally in the 1930s, they convince President Roosevelt to make Columbus Day a holiday. So it was a push for acceptance. And from that point on, Italians graduated to be white people.
When you say they pushed, who is that? Like various like
Knights Italian? Of Columbus, Italian-American lobby groups. Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Was there a particular head person?
A head person for it?
Yeah.
Like,
you know how we got Martin Luther King at the Civil Rights Movement?
There were leaders, sure to speak, but I couldn't tell you like the one Italian who was really pushing it.
So, okay.
It was just kind of a organized thing, and it happened, essentially. So, and that's a big deal for them. They wanted to get that holiday recognition make it a bank holiday, because now you're accepted as a white holiday, and therefore you get to become white. You get all the privileges of being white in America.
Yeah.
We have holidays in America for Hispanics. They're recognized, but they're not national holidays, are not bank holidays.
Mm-mm.
Right. It's, nobody's, President Trump's not.
That same thing. Do the Irish have a bank holiday?
St. Patrick's Day sort of becomes their bank holiday, but.
But the banks are open on St. Patrick's Day because everybody got money to drink at the bar.
The Irish are able to basically establish themselves at once they start getting a few presidents that are Irish. And that's for the most part. They were just so many, and eventually they just got into it. And again, it was easier for the Irish because they spoke English. It was a shorter ladder to climb to getting that white trophy. Hmm. So yeah, it became popular, and it was a point of pride, and it became instilled in us that this was our guy. This was the man to go to. And at this point, it was really hard to even look at it in a way of genocide, because you're talking about the 1930s. We're not treating people very well then either. So. Yeah. Right. It was able to slide in. No one's like, oh, no, he committed, mass murder and genocide. The word genocide doesn't really even exist yet in 1930. We're still a good 10 years away from recognizing the word genocide after World War One, after World War II.
Yeah, now we'd be going through his tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. His old tweets looking for bad jokes.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I mean, the comments he said once he landed in the Bahamas.
and like we said, not until the Native American push in that 70s and then the 80s that we start to get the fight over Columbus.
And there's a lot of resistance, even still today, amongst older Italians. It's their point of pride. And it's sad because there have been so many great Italians doing things for America and doing things from the world who haven't dabbled in slavery and rape.
That could easily replace Columbus, but it's been engraved. It's like everything else. It's been engraved in their history.
It's for Italians, for Italian Americans, it is our Confederate statue. And for some reason, a lot of us think that, you know, they do that you're erasing history thing. And I don't think, but I don't think there's actually that big of a connection to Columbus. And I don't think that's what the fight is for. I really think in the back of a lot of Italian Americans' heads, it's not being allowed in the white club anymore.
I think it's that sense of pride, honestly, because they saw a lot of their ancestors work hard to get the Italian people accepted.
Right.
And they had to use this scumbag as the symbol because that was the only thing that they could really, hey, dickheads, look, this guy got us here, we're part. Please accept us. Stop shunning us. Stop discriminating and all that shit.
Right.
So there's that sense of pride of, it's like, now you're starting to see, oh, Martin Luther King was a womanizer.
Bah, right.
Bah, 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 bah. So it's like chinking the armor kind of thing.
Which I think is great. I think we're entering a wonderful new age where we stop looking at history figures like gods on earth.
Yeah, I think it's fine to look at them as humans.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is this, Crespo.
Mm-hmm.
You point out that flaw, and they could do 100 great things, but that one flaw is mm-hmm. the one thing that's going to collapse that other 100 shit that they did.
Yeah. Well, and that's when, like, context and nuance comes into play, but most people don't want to do that. It's
nope, either because it's a
yes, social, no, love, hate, you know.
It's a social media night. Kind of, I'm the one that's going to bring you down kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like right. People get more satisfaction being the one to discover that little thing of dirt that's going to bring somebody. Like Dustin Hoffman's off the map, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was like slapping women and stuff. I don't know. There's a line.
For the longest time, nobody said shit.
Yeah, well, we're saying stuff now, I guess. We shouldn't be slapping women.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a bit, it's definitely a hard turn right now, mm-hmm. but I think in the long run, it's going to be better as far as looking at people in history. And you eventually, we're going to start to be able to appreciate the parts that they actually contributed to and not thinking that everyone's this wonderful, perfect angel that has come down to save us.
It sucks because anybody that's going to be running for office or anything like that, there's some social media history out there that's going to be thrown in your face. And it's happening with football players. Like football players will say something when you're a kid at 16-year-old or baseball player. There was this baseball player that said some insensitive shit when he was 15, 16.
Yeah.
Immature shit. He was having a great year. I think this happened like 2 years ago. Was having a great year in baseball, and some asshole. But look what he said when he was 16.
Bro,
don't dig it out, dude. People love it. We're in a crab bucket, bro.
It's gonna come around this, you know, eventually, and just kind of with patterns of history. I hope that eventually it loops around where, again, you can just look at people and say, okay, he did this, and not honor them so that we don't get this satisfaction of taking down a god. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love being a god killer. So if we make sure that nobody is a god, then it's going to take away those people.
Well, yeah, being no more god heroes. Killers, and we like to make sure that people don't rise up.
Mm-hmm.
We like to make sure that people remember you f***ed up, even though you did your time.
Yeah.
To society, and when you come out, you're still doing that time. Your debt, like I've always said it, because I have a brother of mine that he paid his debt to society, and when he came out, that debt is still there.
Oh, yeah. No, We are so bad about forgiving as much as we like to talk about forgiveness.
It all depends on who's, you know what I mean? If there's money involved or anything like that, we're quick to forgive. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's very...
Right. And there's no scale of it. It's like, you know, what's the level of forgiveness? Like, you know, again, let's go to an extreme here. If Hitler apologized for the Holocaust, you know, and did a bunch of community service work and helped Israel form, he's still not off the hook.
Oh, no, I mean, no.
That's a lot of community service.
That's a lot of murder.
I'm taking an extreme example. Yeah, no, that's torture. An extreme example. But we don't know what the cutoff is, though, anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the cutoff is. Your brother or a guy who was stupid when he was 15 is now at the same level in our eyes. Yeah. There's no cutoff.
I have a recommendation. You made me think of the statues.
Sure.
And tearing down Confederate statues, tearing down Columbus statues.
Mm-hmm.
I have a suggestion for a replacement.
Sure.
And it solves two problems because I'm pretty sure Stallone is still looking for a home for that Rocky statue.
Yo. For real.
I would take a Rocky Balboa statue.
All right, okay, and then do we change it to, is it Stallone Day or is it Balboa Day?
It's Balboa. I think that's the best thing to do is take literary characters and myths and make it more, you know, they're fictional, but that's a good bar to set. You know, try and be like this fictional
character. Here's the problem, and Bill Burr, I remember when Bill Burr had that rant in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He goes, at that time, the Balboa statue was up. He goes, you guys are so racist. You guys have a real athlete boxer that beat Muhammad Ali, but you'd rather have a fictional white character up to praise.
Right. But again, I'm good with the movie characters because we see their flaws in the movies.
And we can control their flaws because
they're fictional. Yeah, it's not like we're going to go back and be like, oh, Rock, you know, Rocky actually raped Adrian. Like,
there is that scene in the first movie. There is a questionable scene in the first movie.
Paulie did rape that robot.
Paulie did a lot of stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if Paulie has a lot of Michael Vick charges against him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, he totally does.
He ran a dog fighting circle. Oh,
absolutely. Paulie did
easy.
That.
Yeah.
Paulie does all that. But I don't know, just fictional characters would be a good one. But there are other Italians now that you can focus on that, you know, again, don't make a statue of them, but focus on them as good people who have done things around the world and have done great things in America too. And don't focus,
for example,
on anything but what they've done, okay? For example, little things here. Guys, when you go to a restaurant, what's your favorite salad?
Italian Caesar dressing?
You go with the Caesar, right?
Oh, I went Italian because it was an Italian episode.
Right, no, you go with Caesar, right? You go with Caesar Cardini. Yeah, Caesar Cardini's. He's a San Francisco chef. He made that in the 1890s.
Go with the him. Antipasto.
Yeah, who doesn't love him, right? Go with the Coppola family.
Chef Boyardee.
Yeah.
Hey, why can't we have Johnny old Chef Boyardee up there?
Chef Boyardee. I don't know. His credentials need to be vetted a little.
Who else has beefaroni?
That's true. That's true. And that way we don't
Mario
have to...
Mario and Luigi.
See? But the Albano version of Mario.
Okay, super Italian.
Yeah, like the Hoskins Albano I'm from Brooklyn version. Not the new version. I don't go for that one.
The version that hangs out with Cyndi Lauper.
Right, yeah. The version that you know...
With the rubber band in his cheek.
Mm-hmm. That was an actual conversation I had with someone a while ago because we were talking about the different Marios. A lot off topic here. But I was saying it was... Mario meant more for Italian-Americans, as stupid as this sounds, in the 80s and 90s because it was... You could definitely relate to him as an uncle that you knew. Like, this new Mario... I don't know who that is. I've never met him.
Yeah, but Mario's also like one of the top five most recognizable characters in the world too.
But I'm talking about like as far as a connection goes. Like this new Mario today is basically the excusey guy on Eurotrip. I don't know this guy. I've never. I don't have him in my family.
Well, the old Mario didn't talk. It wasn't until Mario 64. It's a me. It's like, oh shit, you got a voice.
He talked in the cartoons though. He had the Brooklyn accent and everything. And that's what we.
Yeah,
all...
with the Albano with the interstitials. Yeah.
You got others. We got I celebrate Luciano Pavarotti Day on October 12th because that's his birthday. A famed Italian tenor. Most
Will
of
you
his
take a shit at a golden toilet.
What's up?
You find a golden toilet to take a dump on. You know that story? He would travel with a golden toilet and have it installed at the hotels. Yes.
Hey, you know, everyone's got their thing. It's got the thing.
You got the money and do it. But going back to representation, that was one of the coolest things I saw this year. They did the big reveal for the Spider-Man game for the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
And they revealed that they were going to go with the Miles Morales.
Oh, that's great.
Version. And the guy reviewing it, the characters walking through Spanish Harlem, and the guy reviewing, like he got emotional about it. And that's going to be our first, even though it's half, but it's going to be our first Puerto Rican representation in a video game.
Right. And yeah. So
half Puerto Rican, half black, but we'll take it.
And you see, it's that that's the same connection that, you know, like the young Italian kid in me had in that Brooklyn Mario when we watched those cartoons and watched the things. I was like, hey, this is one of us. Type of thing.
So you bonded more with Mario than Rocky?
Yeah, Rocky. Well, I didn't get into Rocky until a little bit later. Mario was the first one.
Yeah, because Mario's geared towards kids anyway, so you're going to encounter Mario before you encounter Rocky.
Right, and if you're a kid growing up in that late 80s, early 90s, you're just seeing white hero after white English hero.
Yeah, it's all He-Mans and Dukes. And
Right, it's all guys who don't look like, you know, usually the villains look like me.
Yeah, you do have a bit of a Cobra Commander vibe going on.
Yeah. It's all the dark-haired people. So, yeah, it was nice seeing a dark-haired guy be the hero. Oh, wow. And, yeah, and so the Miles Morales thing, you know, is going to be great. And like I said, you know, I mean, representation is getting a little bit better. And for those who think their culture is being attacked, it's just that you didn't have the right person. Just switch it off. There are other good people out there. Even if you want, even if you want Italians, they even missed the opportunity because in 1860 they had Giuseppe Garibaldi. He went to America. He organized all the Italian immigrants to fight for the Union. Like,
wait, doesn't after, he got a chocolate?
That's Garibaldi or Ghirardelli, not Garibaldi.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Right. Okay. Garibaldi's a great one. Not only does he go in there and he tries to, and he organizes it, not because he likes the Union. He organizes because he knows that the Union, he wants the Union to end slavery. So he does that whole thing for the purpose of ending slavery.
Wow.
How about in 1986, Lieutenant Officer Marion Cobretti, who fought a lot of gangs, and pretty much was the cure to the disease of gang infestations back in the 80s.
Yeah, he fought that axe-wielding serial killer gang. Yeah, I remember that.
So let's save put us. A statue of Marion Cobretti.
Right. So,
hey, guys, it sounds pretty good to me. Yeah,
my fellow Goombas out there, we've got guys now. We don't need to latch on to this murderer. You know, and if we're gonna latch onto a murderer, at least go to with like Al Capone or Don Corleone or something.
Updated.
At least Al Capone gave to charity.
You know what? Don Corleone, way better than Michael Corleone.
Oh, yeah.
He was more. He had more compassion, I think.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael was a little bit. He had to put the muscle in.
Yeah, but Michael also went to war, didn't he?
Yeah, so he had PTSD.
Yeah.
And that's what brought in all the violence.
But whatever we do, and whoever we pick, Just make sure it's not Rudy Giuliani. Please. Let's not do that to the next generation. He is a symbol of what happens when you latch on to a mass murdering hero. So let's not, let's be good.
It's what they had, though. It's what they had back then. What
they had.
Like, remember in the 70s, probably when O.J. Simpson was popping.
Right.
A lot of people are like, O.J., I get in the heat,
Yeah.
Juice is loose, baby.
The juice is loose.
And it's cool to make your mistakes, but you also got to recognize when it's time to change shit up. Like, that's it.
Some people still say, but look, the way he ran on the field.
Oh, my God. No, please.
Look, when he went to jail for robbing those guys in that hotel, I was finally off the O.J. Simpson train.
But here's the shit about that. He went to get the shit that they stole from him.
It was his own stuff.
Don't steal from him.
It was his stuff. He showed up there with two guys, and he held them there with a gun, like kidnapping. That's the part that got him. If he would have just went in there and got his things, he would have just gotten like a misdemeanor assault charge. It was when he held them in the room.
Who thinks, too, that stealing from O.J. Simpson's a good idea after everything?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who's not going to retaliate? O.J. Simpson. Let's go.
O.J. Simpson.
You know who doesn't have a temper? O.J. Simpson. All right.
And he went in there. He didn't have that bad of a temper.
No.
He was so, hey, guys, I just want my stuff. Like, he wasn't, like, angry. Mm-hmm. He wasn't Don Cheney yelling at John Calipari after a game. I'll kill ya!
So you think Norberg is walking in there like, hey, guys, I'm just here to pick
that's
up
how,
my cards
dude,
and my football.
Video, it was Norberg. Oh, he had such a booming acting career going after those Naked Guns.
Mm-hmm. You know, but then, like every great hero, they take your statue down.
I don't want to put blame on the wife, but.
Mm. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wish you a nice arrivederci.
Oh.
Yeah.
Buonasera.
Follow us. Follow Half True History on all the outlets that we're in. PFT Media. Check out all the shows. Still going strong. COVID ain't going to stop us. We got those Trump super drugs in us.
That Regeneron, right?
Right. Thank you, ladies.
Did that stock go up? Scumbag. Jesus Christ. This, you know, we deserve everything that happens.
Everything. So for Pedro, for me, for Crespo, this has been Half True History. We'll see you on the next page.
Arrivederci.
A PFT Media production.